Turns out lawmakers have their own financial stake in the future of video gambling, including State Senator Bill Brady.
I think it's a little squishy about whether he's required to abstain from the votes or not.
That's ProPublica reporter Jason Grotto. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, May 29th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with Bloomington State Senator Bill Brady, who has a significant financial stake in the video gambling industry in Illinois. That's according to ProPublica. GLT's Charlie Schlenker has more.
ProPublica has been reporting on possible gambling expansion since last year. In the course of that, reporters like Jason Grotto found several top legislative leaders have been receiving payments for finder's fees in signing up businesses to host video gambling terminals. In some cases, those payments are up to $50,000 per establishment. Senate Minority Leader and Bloomington Republican Bill Brady is among those sales agents. But Grotto says Brady stands out because internal gaming board documents define him as a person with significant influence or control with Midwest Electronics Gaming, one of the larger firms.
The operators may not want to pay up front. So what they'll do is they'll say, hey, we'll just give you a percentage of the proceeds from the machine. And that raises you up to a higher level where you actually kind of have a stake in how well those machines perform.
Ellsworth, Illinois-based Midwest Electronics Gaming, according to its website, has terminals in several hundred Illinois establishments, including about half the ones in Normal and plenty in Bloomington. Grotto says Midwest Electronics Gaming made more than $80 million between 2012 and 2018. Grotto says it's not clear how much money Brady is making from his interest in Midwest Gaming.
The video gambling company pays Brady Ventures, so he disclosed Brady Ventures on his ethics disclosures, but not Midwest Electronics. You don't really get to see because, you know, he's paid from Brady Ventures, not directly from Midwest, or at least that's what he told us.
Brady would also have a financial interest in the decision before the General Assembly whether to change the tax structure for video gaming. Illinois has a very low tax rate on video gambling compared to most states, 30% instead of 50% by some.
So from what I can tell, and Illinois is not known for the strength of its ethics laws. I think it's a little squishy about whether he's required to abstain from the votes or not.
Brady declined an interview with ProPublica. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. The Illinois House has endorsed expanded abortion protections as a half dozen other states strive to restrict the procedure. State Representatives Dan Brady, Keith Sommer, and Dan Calkins all voted against the bill, which now goes to the Senate. The dispute between the town of Normal and one of its own council members, Stan Nord, may be over. A $12,000 payment has been made to the town. That's the same amount the town said Nord owed for a sewer tap-on fee. And Bloomington City Council members voted to postpone any board and commission appointments until after they can have a public discussion about how those appointments are made. Those stories and more at WGLT.org. GLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas, comes your way today at noon and 6 p.m. Recycling advocates in McLean County are pushing back against claims that materials set out at the curb for recycling are going to the landfill or being burned. More from GLT's Eric Stock.
Yes, there's a lot of garbage and some recycling.
When students flood out of the dorms at Illinois State University to head home for the summer, Andrew Bennett becomes a dumpster diver. He lunges into a 4-foot-tall rollout dumpster, but he's not looking for hidden treasures. He's looking for material that could be recycled.
It's in my heart, in my blood, to keep stuff out of the landfills, and it's, you know, trying to do good.
It's also part of his job as ISU's recycling coordinator. Bennett spends much of move-out week pouring through dumpsters to make sure trashed items can't be salvaged. He cordons off an area to put recyclable materials, but he says it never fails.
It's amazing that students will toss a metal futon up into a garbage roll-off 6 feet, 4 feet high, rather than acknowledging there's a sign there that says we take this metal roll-off, metal futon frame, and they can just drop it on the ground.
Bennett came to ISU in 2010, just as the university was preparing to convert to single-stream recycling. He says that led to a large spike in recycling on campus, not all of it good.
There's the recycling wannabes that think everything can be recycled. Things like plastic hangers or plastic bags. That's the big thing that curbside does not want.
In some cases, Bennett says the problem is just laziness.
We see to-go containers that end up in our recycling when the trash chute is even closer, and we have signs for that.
And no, you can't recycle pizza boxes. There are lots of those on college campuses. Bennett says that leads to more contamination if no one catches it. And the only way to catch it is to have personnel go through the materials bit by bit. And that drives up cost.
They really didn't educate enough. And it's hard for even me to educate. I'm one of the lone educators trying to educate students.
Bennett says his office has tried posting more visible signs at each recycling bin what can and can't be accepted, but that doesn't always help. Surely college campuses aren't the only place where recycling contamination exists. It's a problem just about everywhere. That's why companies that take recyclables are investing millions of dollars to better weed out the materials that may cause contamination. That's the sound of an optical sorter, the key piece of an estimated $3 million renovation in Midwest Fiber Recycling in Normal. Todd Shoemaker, who runs the plant, explains how it works.
So as material is coming in through, it's coming through at a rapid pace, and then it takes an infrared picture, and then a puff of air shoots the plastic or the aluminum or the tin care up and over a divider, and all the paper falls on one side of the divider, and all the containers shoot over to the other side of the divider.
So how did you do it before this?
Before, unfortunately, some of this would end up in our fiber. So some of those smashed water bottles, how they've gotten so thin and so lightweight, when they go through some of our sorting, they would end up in the paper. So we just have people there trying to find it, but they couldn't find enough of them.
Even with machines to separate items, sorting recyclables is labor-intensive, especially at a plant that churns out about 3,000 tons of material each month. Staff work a conveyor belt line where they have to hand-pick all of the milk jugs and laundry detergent bottles and the harder plastics, which are recycled separately from the lighter plastics, aluminum, and tin cans.
Every minute, they're finding 50 items in that area, so you can see they're sorting with their left hand, their right hand. We sometimes joke, usually if you're good at video games, you're pretty good at this job because it's pretty fast-moving and your hands are always moving, that hand-eye coordination.
They also have to remove contaminants, really stinky contaminants. He says the most common offenders are pieces of clothing, plastic bags, and diapers. Yes, dirty diapers, which can tangle in equipment.
More on the do's and don'ts of recycling. Plus, Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner stops by during Sound Ideas at noon and 6 p.m. today on GLT. Before we let you go, the Bloomington Public Safety and Community Relations Board meets today at 3:30 at the YWCA in McLean County on Hershey Road. That's the board that can review how the city has resolved police conduct complaints. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.